did. I did hear a record scratch.
On this episode, Harris gets 10K in the Argos comeback win in Regina. Sunday night football comes to BMO, and Will's got the pinball anniversary. Crack those cold ones. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast or go directly to theargosfancast.podbean.com. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from argofans.com. He is our VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hello, everyone. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And from the Double Blue Order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
We may have to change that when House of the Dragon starts up in a few weeks. But we'll play that by ear. You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. You can also check out our merchandise store, including our Rough Riders Tears mugs, which we've been drinking out of copiously, and also the law firm t-shirt, doublebluorder.ca.
Well, the game on Sunday was something.
It was the sine wave of football.
It was almost tragic.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the blurst of times. It was something else. And
you stupid monkey.
Exactly. It even had monkeys writing the script at one point. It had everything.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, if you looked at the stats in the first half, you would assume that the Argos were blowing away the Rough Riders. However, that was not the case. The Rough Riders, on the heels of a field goal attempt that was returned for a touchdown, took the lead going into half. And
what were you thinking, Dinwiddie?
15-11, and the Riders had 70 yards passing at that point. However, after not doing much in the third quarter, the Argos decided that they were going to finally win the game. I think they had shot off all of their feet, so they were running on stumps, scored 17 points in the third quarter to pull out a 31-21 win. McLeod Bethel Thompson, 30 for 38, 336 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. He had that one nice long bomb to Curly Gittens Jr., 70-yard touchdown pass. Andrew Harris put in work. 26 carries, 143 yards, a 5.5 average. And he also caught 7 balls for 45 yards. And he went over 10,000 rushing yards. And the circumstances of that play are infuriating, but we'll get to that later. Curly Gittens Jr. had a monster night, catching all 8 balls thrown his way for 152 yards 92 of those after he caught the ball, one touchdown. Tavares Daniels.
Welcome to the show, man.
Tavares Daniels caught 4 of 5 for 65 yards. Markieff Ambles, 9 of 13 for 64 yards. We mentioned Andrew Harris. Cam Phillips had 1 for 5 yards, and that was a touchdown. And Dejon Brissett caught the one ball throw, or one of two balls thrown his way, for 5 yards. Brandon Banks didn't get a target in this one. Boris Beedy, 3 for 4. Of course, we mentioned it off the top, the 61-yard missed field goal. And, they tried to get Brandon Banks in on the punt return. He returned 1 for 35 yards, which helped, because Isaiah Wright was not doing much in his realm. On the defensive side of the ball, it was spread around. A lot of people had tackles. Jagaird Davis had 4, including a quarterback sack. Winton McManus, 3, and a special teams tackle. Deshaun Amos, 3 and a pick. Chris Edwards, 2 and a fumble recovery. Enoch Mwamba, 2. Jamal Peter, and it is, you know, 2s and 1s, and lots of people got tackles in this game. And yeah, and I mean, it was Jake Dolagala, your third string quarterback, in Regina as the quarterback, held them to 131 yards. On the ground, they held them we're looking at 43 yards total. So not a whole lot of offense coming out of Saskatchewan, 174 yards total to our 496. We had the ball for 37 minutes in this game. And somehow this game was in doubt at one point.
Well, when you turn the ball over 5 times, that's what happens.
Yeah.
When you get stuffed at the 1 yard line for the umpteenth time, that's what happens. When you get stuffed at the 35 yard line, that's what happens. When you make a stupid decision to go for a field goal from 61 yards, that's what happens.
And when you more than double the opponent's penalty yards, 10 for 112 to 6 for 51. It is what happens.
What happens when your center can't snap the ball properly?
Oh, there's a lot of things that happen.
They tried to lose it, but it didn't happen that way.
No, they finally said, okay, fine, we'll win it. If you guys don't want it, we'll win it.
It's like, fine, we'll take the dub. You guys can do what you want.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
And as we're going all season, Doug, what are we leading off with?
Now, this to me is, I wouldn't call it a good, I'd call it a great. And the reason why I call it a great, because I think this is the first time this has ever happened in CFL history. At least according to my knowledge. Released while it's being televised. Because during the broadcast, with about, 40 some odd seconds to go, the power in the stadium went out, and it took the satellite feed along with it. Considering the timing of how shortly after the Argos did a scoop and score on Mario Alford, I assumed automatically that this, for the first time in CFL history, was a
rage quit.
Rage quit. This is basically like somebody in Madden that you've pantsed 35-3, not even halftime, and they decide to say to hell with it, and they rip their PS5 out of the wall because they're so angry. This is like somebody playing World of Tanks and pretty much bashing their keyboard until keys fly across the room. Which is what I've done.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the timing here. So we're probably looking at about, because I don't think we, did we see the kickoff or not?
Yeah, we saw the kickoff and hang on. We saw the scoop and score.
Yeah.
And then we
saw the extra point.
Yeah, we saw the extra point, but we did not see the final, let's see.
30 seconds.
Yeah, the final 30 seconds of the game.
It was still light enough play.
That they weren't worrying about lights in there, so they could still keep it up. It was two incomplete passes, and then a completed pass.
And then they took a knee, and then they took a knee and went home.
Yeah. Yep.
They finished losing.
That actually puts I don't know if you meant it that way, but yeah, they finished losing. They finished losing the game and then they went home.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick the obvious here. Andrew Harris looked like a friggin' beast in this game, becoming the first Canadian running back to eclipse 10,000 yards. And yeah, for everybody who said he was done, he didn't look done to me. He got 33 touches in this game. 33. Almost 200 yards total of offense. Now, he should have had one extra yard and a touchdown in there. But well, that's a different story. But yeah, Andrew Harris is my good this week. Will?
I took him in fantasy this week.
Ooh.
He did not get me a touchdown.
No.
No. But no, definitely. I don't know if we want to be giving him 33 touches a game, but he ran like a beast on Sunday, and congrats on the 10K. My good is the best Canadian receiver in the Canadian Football League, one Curly Gittens Jr.
Yeah. You're
here? Sorry, Keaton, whatever your name is, Shaken Baker. Curly's got more yards, Curly's got more yards per game than you do. And I think he got more yards, catches, and touchdowns last year. Anyways. The touchdown catch from McLeod. I mean, it was a 70-yarder, but it wasn't like it was a, you know, a deep pattern, you know, hit him in stride. Well, I mean, he does hit him in stride, but catches the pass, and then you just see the guy turn on the jets for the last 30 yards or whatever. It was wow. It was truly something else. And it's great to see, you know. Just goes to show that a lot of the great Canadian receivers are not guys selected in the first round. McCurley was the third rounder.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a third round. He was I actually met him at the combine. And just talking to him, I was impressed with him. Got a good head on his shoulders, and he's put in the work.
Yeah, that's what Andrew Harris commented on TSN 1050 this morning. He looks at Gittens as a young guy who comes to practice and works hard every day.
Yeah, and there's no quitting this kid. On the bad side, I'm going to go with the penalties.
Yeah, they got that up.
You know, took
5 penalties on special teams.
Yeah, for a total, what am I looking here? So total of 62 yards of penalties on special teams. They're not going to get it done. They got to clean that up. And somehow on the flip side, Saskatchewan only took 6 penalties for 51 yards.
And they say the refs are against them.
Yeah, Dave Dickinson, complains that they're still being punished for the Marino thing.
If I sang the song that I wanted to sing, I would be getting the 2-game suspension they want to give Sean Oakman.
Well, you know what? I suppose if he thinks that may help motivate his team, more power to him, I guess.
Whatever.
We're going to be out of a playoff spot soon if they keep thinking that.
Yep. Doug.
Well, you said the penalties. For me, it's the turnovers. I mean, three fumbles. The turnover on downs, we all know that's... it's always... Like, the third down, like, it's a both... The turnovers and third down conversions. Every other team in this league, it's automatic on a 3rd-and-1. But why is it that, especially this season, when I see 3rd-and-1, or 3rd-and-inches, I start to sweat a little bit? That shouldn't happen.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I used a little bit more harsh language on Sunday, but it's getting weird.
It's mind-boggling. And, you want to go and say, okay, it's the coaching and the regime. But go back prior to Dinwiddie and...
How far back are we going?
How far back do you want to go? We did have Marcus Brady was there. Okay, we were pretty damn good. He could get the he was an expert at falling a yard ahead. And for a little bit, there was glimpses of that happening with Trestman, with the whoever we had back there. I can't remember the name right now, but
Chardo.
And that, well, no, it was before it was, I can't remember who it was, but there were glimpses of it, but it never really stuck. And Chamberlain, it was.
Yeah. Chamberlain.
It was no.
Yeah. Well,
we never everything even got to, Corey, super really got to a 3rd-and-1 with him.
Everything about the Corey Chamberlain era was no. Just no.
Should have been fired week 2.
Yes.
But Will, what was your bad?
I think you two just about covered it.
Yeah. I mean, the I'm going to take it a little step further with my ugly. And the rec laws were never meant to be taken seriously when scheming up a play on the football field.
Yeah. 3rd and 1 from the gun.
3rd and 1 from the gun on the 1 yard line. What the fuck? You overthought this.
Whatever happened to the KISS principle?
I'll get into that.
And I'm not saying like Love Gun or Lick It Up or War Machine or
Rock City
or Detroit Rock City, exactly.
Do do do.
I had too many KISS songs going through my head at that point. I had no idea which one to pick.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I understand maybe you don't have a quarterback that is very good at the 1 yard sneak, but you have a running back who, at least at times this year, look like he's looking for people to run over just for fun. And you go into shotgun, give the ball 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Makes no damn sense. You're giving them enough chance to get over your torpedoing lineman. You go under center, snap the ball, hand it right to him, go really old school. He'll dive. Let him dive over the pile.
Or hurdle over it, whichever.
Hurdle over, dive. He'll take somebody out while doing it, because that's what he seems to like to be doing this year. And I'm here for it. All right, do we have anything uglier?
Well, there was that one stretch at about 6 minutes 15 seconds in the third quarter.
Where the game felt hopeless?
Well, it was the point where I decided to turn it off and go to bed, even though I couldn't sleep, and I was actually keeping an eye on the game tracker on my phone.
They won.
Like, I know they won. I saw the final scoop and score, because like I said, I couldn't sleep. And once they took the lead, I'm like, okay, we got a game here. So that's when I went back in. But in particular, play 102 was Law Firm getting sacked, and which was bad enough. And then the following play, Buddy fires the snap way the hell away, and then Chuckles was going to do a scoop and score.
So he says.
But the ref said, yeah, offside pass, and they were right, because you can't bat the ball ahead with your hands. You got to kick it. That's an old school rule. That goes back to the rugby days.
Yep.
But I honestly thought that was a touchdown, and that's when I decided, yeah. But to me, that, like, it was one of those things where, okay, it's gotten bad, and then that happened, and I'm like, oh, for God's sakes, it just got worse.
Yeah. Yeah, that was about the point where I started swearing a lot. As well. And that's when you get to one, I'm like, okay, I guess we can't have nice things.
No, of course not. But that's what I mean when I say the Argos tried to lose this game.
Oh yeah.
Stop playing down to your opponents and like you said, Clay, why can't we have nice things? Why can't we have a nice big blowout against the team?
Why can't we play a game where it's our game?
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to put into words, right? You know, you want them to play your game. They're playing down to their opponents. They're playing up to their opponents. They're not playing their game.
The best way to put it is, I just want a 1997 style blowout. You know, like,
you're gonna have to compile a mega team for that.
46-3 blowout on Labor Day.
I'll take that.
That was the score of Labor Day that year.
Yeah, I'll take that. So I guess that's about as ugly as it gets.
Yeah. Did you do your ugly, Clay?
Yeah, my ugly was a 3rd-and-1 from the gun.
Oh. My ugly is... Ryan, stop overthinking.
Yeah, when he...
I think we can end it on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, coming out, we got 2 top performers of the week this week. Andrew Harris and Curly Gittens Jr. were both named top performers for week 7.
Yep.
We ran down their stats, and I think that's the no more needs to be said about this. You know, these guys deserved it. And then the aftermath of what happened in the game, we had Isaiah Cage had a setback with his concussion issue, and that forced Trayvon Tate into that spot, and then we lost Trayvon Tate in this game.
Healthy American lineman.
Which forced Shane Richards out to the corner, and then Phillip Blake went down with a hand injury. And that forcing Gregor McKellar.
Play left guard.
And it was shortly after that the series of plays that forced Doug to turn off the game temporarily.
It worked. They won.
Phillip Blake was sporting what looked like to be a soft cast today. But he was a full participant in practice, whereas Trayvon Tate's been put on the one game, and on his Instagram story, he mentioned the possibility of an ACL injury. So,
anterior cruciate ligament.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate that insightful analysis.
No problem.
Yeah. His exact words were torn ACL. Crazy, eh? So it looks. Theron Churchill's getting close to coming back. He's almost back into football shape. I think it all depends on a week of practice.
Oh.
But he was a healthy scratch this week just because he wasn't up fully up to speed yet. We got Shane Richards, who can fill in. Isaiah Cage is not on the injured list, so hopefully he's okay to go on Sunday.
Thought he got moved to the sixth game.
Not yet. According to this, he's still on the active roster.
Well, it took me last week to point out that there was no one or six game list. So who to actually get something? Does it mean they're going to update it?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let's do one last check of the previous week's game notes. So, yeah, they just put them on the injured list.
Whatever
for that game. So, because that includes both one and six games.
I see.
On there. So not necessarily six gamed yet. Hopefully not. Crossing my fingers. This game coming up Sunday will mark the Argos sixth game of the season. So there is a chance. Hopefully his knee is healed up and Peter Nicastro is healthy for the following week's home game against the Ticats. Well, before we move on to Ottawa, today marks a very special anniversary in Argoland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you take that away, Will.
Well, June 27th, 1989, the Argos welcomed the Edmonton Eskimos to Skydome. And introduced a 5'6" punt returner from the College of William and Mary named Pinball. He did have the nickname at that point. He got the nickname in training camp. And his first kick return in the CFL, he fumbled the ball. He did have some, decent punt and kick returns the rest of that game. And the Argos ended up winning, which was one of only two games that Edmonton lost that year, the regular season. Tracy Ham threw six interceptions. So happy 33rd anniversary in Argo uniform, Pinball.
Happy anniversary, Pinball. Well, I guess we're on to Ottawa. Actually, before we do that, we did have a little bit of player movement news. Our practice roster quarterback, Austin Simmons, decided to retire. And we signed American quarterback, Khalil Tate. He spent some time with Edmonton had a 4-year career at the University of Arizona from 16 to 2019, accounted for 6,318 passing yards, 57 touchdowns, rushing for 2,285 yards, and another 18 on the ground. So he had a couple cups of coffee in the NFL, and now he's here. Other than that, we haven't made many other moves. So So I guess it's time
to look. They'll need to bring in some bodies on the O-line.
Yeah, I think we need to do that. Get some of these guys healthy. Bring some bodies back. Do something, yeah. Because we do not have much depth right now on our offensive line. Okay. Ottawa is next this Sunday. Kickoff is 5 o'clock on a Sunday. At BMO Field. This time actually scheduled for a Sunday.
On a long weekend, too.
Yeah, so you don't have to go to work the next day, presumably.
Nope.
I don't.
I don't either. Actually, I've got the whole week off that week.
Oh, yeah, you're going to that place.
We go camping. Well, camping in quotation marks.
Glamping.
Well, I wouldn't even say that. I wouldn't even say we're camping in the sense that we sleep in tents and we cook outside. But it's at a resort down on the shores of Lake Erie, between Port Colborne and Fort Erie. So if anybody wants to go Shirks and Shores, great place to go all kinds of stuff. And I'll be there all next week. So we got Ottawa coming in. Before we do that,
Ottawa.
I mean, numbers wise, we're pretty even with them. Wins wise,
Owen.
We got them beat.
Hey! Owen's, I moved into your basement. Yeah, Owen's in town.
Ottawa is 0-6.
And we want Owen to stay in town.
Yes.
Just for one more week. then they can move out. I wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Actually, it'd be pretty funny if they did move out next week. So I think the entire league would laugh at that if they did move out next week.
All right. Now I got to look ahead to next.
Yeah, they're playing Calgary.
Yeah, that would be funny. But yeah, and Caleb Evans is starting to actually show that he can play quarterback.
I have confidence our secondary can handle this.
Yeah, we've shown that we can, our secondary can do the job. Against Saskatchewan was a little bit of an anomaly. Their receiving core and their quarterbacks were hit by COVID. So, but before that, pretty good. Before the previous game, not so much. There's a guy on CFL.ca that is pumping Caleb Evans' tires against Toronto because our defense has given up a 70% passing completion percentage this year, but a little bit skewed from the beginning of the year, I think. Our defense is starting to take shape. But the one thing that Caleb Evans can do that we haven't seen for a bit yet is that he's very mobile. So I think with Caleb Evans is, I think the Argos got to keep him in the pocket. Don't let him get outside and narrow his throwing lanes to make him have to beat you as a pocket passer.
Yeah, and Mr. Bethel Thompson has to be better against Ottawa than he was last year.
And basically, don't take them for granted. They've been competitive in most of their games. You know, don't assume it's not. Don't look ahead to Hamilton on the next week.
No. Doug, what do the Argos need to do to beat Ottawa?
Well, you guys have pretty much said it, so I'm just going to give my smart-ass answer, and that's score more points than them.
Thank you, John.
No problem.
It's always a good idea to score more points than your opponent. That usually wins you a game.
But in all seriousness, if they could tidy up the penalties too, that would be great.
And stop overthinking, Ryan. Breathe.
Yes. Relax. Please. Just because Boris Beattie is hitting a 61-yard field goal in practice before the game does not mean he's going to be able to hit one of those during a game.
Yes.
Now, if he's hitting 70-yarders, then let's have a discussion. But, yeah, if he's hitting 61-yarders in practice, doesn't necessarily translate to what you can do in a game situation. Because lots of kickers can hit a 60-yarder in practice. Very few of them can do it in a game situation. All right, picks time.
Picks.
Let's look at it. We've got, Thursday night. Montreal is in Hamilton. They've only going to have Trevor Harris. Vernon Adams has been one-gamed. But they're playing Hamilton, so Montreal.
That's an automatic, yeah.
Will?
Trevor Harris always sucks against... Well, no, that one time he was good. But I don't know.
Went out two times.
Yeah, sure.
Friday, the recovering Saskatchewan Rough Riders are in BC to take on the Lions.
The Leos. BC.
I don't think Saskatchewan's going to be recovered enough to...
Dolan Gallant started again.
The what?
The Dolan Gallant is starting again, or whatever his name is.
Well, Fajardo was back at practice this week, so...
Oh, please. Oh, my knee hurt. Then he plays.
Yeah, I don't think Saskatchewan's got what it takes to beat BC.
They don't have the right stuff.
I mean, it's in Saskatchewan, so it'll be a little bit closer. It won't be a massive blowout, but I think BC wins this one.
What's that, Taylor Field?
Well, it can't be a Taylor Field. Taylor Field doesn't exist anymore.
Piffles.
Isn't it a parking lot now?
Pretty much, yeah.
Piffles Taylor.
Yes, he
loves. They're just throwing names out there, Will. Can you stop?
Well, you know, it depends if he's looking for the glass eye or not. He Piffles Taylor had one eye. One of them was glass, and he lost it during the game.
How could he play football then?
It was a long time ago, Will.
Oh,
Stan Hansen wrestled while blind. You don't need much eyesight to throw your forearm into somebody's face.
Yeah, and
very,
I think
very hard.
I'm not sure. I think Piffles Taylor was a lineman or something like that. So it wasn't like He needed to have perfect vision.
Did he wear an eye patch?
No, he had a glass eye.
Oh.
That would be funny, though, if he did have... like, then I think his nickname wouldn't be Pebbles. It wouldn't be... But it would be Pirate.
Well, now I gotta go look up what...
Dread Pirate Taylor. Yeah.
Alright, why did he get this name Piffles? This should be something we ask the guys of the Piffles podcast, since they took his namesake.
And the thing is, hey, you're from Saskatchewan. You should know this. I thought that was like first grade stuff.
Well, there used to be a sign outside of Taylor Field. Because obviously it was, you know, named after Taylor Field was named after Piffles Taylor, right? Mm-hmm. But I never actually read it until I went back for a game.
Okay.
And now you don't remember what it said.
No, very briefly. Neil Joseph Piffles Taylor.
He's Catholic.
Born in Collingwood. Raised in Yellowgrass, Saskatchewan. Huh.
Funny, because the grass in Saskatchewan is yellow. Oh.
Let's see. He studied law and played collegiate football at the University of Toronto before joining the Regina Rugby Club in 1914. In 1916... he became a fighter pilot and lost an eye when he was shot down and spent a year in a German POW camp in World War I.
The Red Baron shot his eye out.
I don't think it was the Red Baron who did it.
Despite the loss of an eye, Taylor returned to Regina, the Regina Rugby Club, in 1919, quarterbacking the team to the Hugo Ross Trophy over Calgary. He played through 1921 and then served as coach from 22 to 23.
Where they got the shit kicked out of them by Queen's University and the Great Cup.
Yeah.
Never forget, Saskatchewan, you lost the Queen's and the Great Cup more than once.
And not once does it mention, all it does is mention his nickname in his name.
Piff.
So, and
maybe call some relatives and come back to us on that.
Well, I looked up the definition of piffles. Something that does not have or make sense.
There's a variety of words that are like that have that yep. definition.
So maybe
balderdash, blather, bunkum.
Maybe it didn't make sense.
I like that one, claptrap. That's a good one.
Maybe it didn't make sense that an eyeless man played the football.
A one-eyed quarterback.
Well, he was a hell of a lot more effective than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest.
That's a good point. Unless that one-legged man knew some martial arts.
Label typically applied, even though his correspondence was signed N.J. Taylor. It's an expletive he used. Grandson Sam Taylor explained in 2006. In those days, when you thought somebody was full of it, you'd say, ah, piffles.
Oh, that's a very Saskatchewan nickname. Okay.
It's unique, I can tell you that.
Oh, Doug.
Yes.
Are you going BC or Saskatchewan?
BC is going to maul the hell out of them.
All right.
Yeah, sorry, Clay.
It's okay, I picked BC too.
Three straight for the Leos.
My parents may not allow me into their house, but, you know, that's my problem.
They listen to the show?
No.
Then how do they know you picked BC?
Their parents. Oh. They're going to know.
Well, when I was cheering for the Argos, well, watching a game with them, they kind of knew.
Where did we go so wrong in racing Clay? What's happened to our boy?
Oh, Saturday we've got a doubleheader. No, sorry, Saturday we've got single game out in Calgary. Winnipeg is coming to town.
What everyone's calling the heavyweight tilt of the weekend.
Winnipeg will lose the first game of the year.
Doug?
That's what I'm sure hoping as well. Someone's got to beat the Bombers. Somebody's got to beat them because we don't play them again now. And we're probably not going to play them again until Grey Cup, when we will beat them. But someone's got to beat them in the regular season.
Well, this seems like the most logical game, but Winnipeg just the minute you think that they're going to get beat, they seem to find a way. I think Winnipeg's going to pull this out, and everybody's going to walk away from this game going, "How the fuck did that happen?"
Nah.
Or was it just blind luck? Like two games, it was just straight blind luck they won.
Well, you got to be lucky to be good and good to be lucky, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously Saskatchewan Sunday. Sunday night football. The Argos are going to beat the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Indeed.
By how many?
Let's say a touchdown.
I was going to say 9.
33.
All right.
7, 9, and 33. So there you go.
Well, it could be 33-7, 33-9. Yeah. Something will work. And now, for the greatest fantasy advice, we are back on top. This is the segment that Will groans through. I'm not sure if that was a groan or something else.
Attempt at a groan.
I think it was a Wookiee getting its foot run over by a car. Or a gopher caught in a lawnmower trying to do an impression of a bagpiper. I don't know.
Yeah, we led our league with 111.7 points last week, so we obviously won.
Y'all
we got
beat
big
me.
Game, big games from Curly Gittens Jr., Dalton Schoen, McLeod Bethel Thompson put up a decent game at quarterback, and James Butler, not too bad. Argos defense, 13 points. So, you know, all in all, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So time for the week 8 roster.
Time for the week roster. Well, yeah. Dalton Schoen is still pretty affordable.
Yeah. And he's been playing. He's not playing horrible, so.
Yeah.
Let's run with that.
I took Rashid Bailey just because, you know, he got his first touchdown of the year last week, so maybe that gets him going.
Yeah, and he's only $150 more. Okay, Rashid Bailey. And then, Doug, are we still going with James Butler in the flex?
His price is creeping up now.
Yeah, I know.
May want to downgrade a little bit.
I fit currently into my lineup.
Okay, let's.
I'm thinking at this point, if you're looking for someone on the flex, I would either go Andrew Harris or even Kadeem Carey. I don't know if you would want to go as far down as, say, Don Jackson or William Powell. I would highly doubt it, but.
No.
I'd take Don Jackson.
Okay, quarterback.
I don't like the prices on the quarterbacks this week.
No. Huh.
Well, MBT, I'm just worried about the picks. You know?
Yep. Okay. Running backs.
Oh, and Jackson Hickson.
Frankie Hickson, you mean?
Yeah, Don Jackson, Frankie Hickson.
Where's Don Jackson here? Okay, well, we'll see if I can make those two guys work. I put MBT in for our quarterback, just because it was on the cheaper options. It was him or Bo Levi.
You don't really want to get Bo Levi with Cal, Winnipeg there.
No, not at all. Well, yeah, I'm not sure. Well, we've got $8,000 to figure out our running back situation. We may have to go a little bit cheaper on a receiver here, but we'll figure that out later. But yeah, we won our week, and who are we taking on this week? I think we're taking on
Cooper Trooper.
No, so we're taking on somebody from the
taking on Canadian, Ryan Coop?
Ryan Coop from the Canadian Football Countdown show. Mm. I believe that's a show.
So, it is.
Yeah.
I've been on with them.
Yeah.
As have I. We all have.
Well, we'll kick the shit out of them this week. Because why not? Beat everybody and their dog last week, so might as well walk tall and carry a big stick. Oh, and I feel like we need to do this now, because I feel like this is going to go on for a little bit longer than 3 minutes.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
Let's take a trip to Kazakhstan, shall we?
All right.
We'll start by taking a trip to Kazakhstan. How's that sound? Now, we haven't heard much from our friend Anton, but he did have one very... He actually had a couple of good gold pieces here. One was when the Riders put out their injury report on the 21st. And it listed pretty much everyone who had COVID. He just put, these Rough Riders are very rough.
He ain't wrong.
No. Then they still are quite rough.
Oh. And then my favorite of his this week was his comment on the Argos uniform setup for the game, where they put out the picture of the, you know, navy helmet, white shirts, and powder blue pants with the navy socks. He said, so very well dressed. I have heard Saskatchewan has diseases, so be careful. Take it on its own. Take it for a little bit more than you want if you know the history of Saskatchewan calling itself the chlamydia capital of Canada at one point. But
they have billboards.
They had. And bus ads.
Not the same thing as the clap. I always thought it was.
Okay. We go from there to... Go from Kazakhstan to food.
All right.
Now, this week... The pork rankings were actually overtaken by corn. Now, the reason why that is because the guy who makes this up was inspired by the big-ass Edmonton corn maze that was made up in the shape of the Elks logo.
Which is pretty goddamn cool, man.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
That still be there in October?
Probably not.
Probably not, because of... Yeah, because, I mean, it'll be harvest. Right?
Damn.
Well, you can go try.
Yeah. So, let's just get through this. The Bombers, who have been solidly in the first place spot for, like, the last, 3 years? They're popcorn. The real star of any big show. Get it out, get it popped, and get ready for the best show of your life. You may laugh, you may cry, but in the end, you'll get that finish you expected.
And it goes well with a lot of things. I mean, I'm not a popcorn guy, but I mean, you know, butter halfway through and on top. Or are you throw a bag of M&Ms in there? Or maybe some of that seasoning.
The Maltesers.
M&Ms? I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
M&M's with buttery popcorn. Well, you do get the sweet and savory.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh. Next time I go to the movies, I might try that.
Just don't combine the flavor packets with that.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure, you know, having white cheddar seasoning on top of... Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah,
I like ketchup powder from Colonel's.
With M&M's though, that's gonna be disgusting. Oh,
no, that's that thought is disgusting.
All right, next.
Moving on. Number two this week are the Stamps, and they are corn on the cob, the most traditional and stalwart of the corn preparations. You just can't get it wrong. Shed that husk, strip the silks, and drop in some boiling water, and boom, deliciousness.
Yes, I had some very delicious corn on the cob on Sunday and yesterday. It's corn season, people, and in Ontario has some of the best corn in the world. So go visit your local food. Go drive out of the country, find a produce stand, and buy yourself some corn on the cob.
Yeah. And I much prefer the peaches and cream corn that we have here to the Tabor corn out there out in Alberta that everybody seems to think is the be all end all.
All right, next up,
Prince Albert County, best corn in the world.
Next up, number three, the Lions. They are cornbread. This is the classic way to do corn. I like having mine with chili. There's just something terrifically satisfying about having that fluffy bread soak up all that goodness.
Now, do you like the cornbread sweet, or do you like it with a little bit more corn and spice to it? Because there's a million different ways to make cornbread.
Yeah.
See, I much prefer the sweet. I don't want any chunks of corn in mine.
No, I don't know. I think chunky cornbread's disgusting.
Worse than fruitcake. I prefer the sweeter cornbread.
We could take sides in the great CFL food war here, but I'm not going to. Fourth are your beloved and favorite, the Toronto Argos, and they are corn chowder. Delicious over and over, even though there are little chunks of what the fuck is that in there. You seem to get something solid and tasty more often than not. As don't overthink it too much.
Don't overthink, Ryan.
Mid pack this week we have the Riders. And they are corn salad. It's solid, but with corn. You know how you make the last minute salad with whatever the hell you can find in the fridge? This is that. Cheese, beans, celery, corn? Sure.
No.
That's a good way of ending it. Just no. Okay, now we go into the bottom half of the pack. Sixth are the Elks this week, and they are corn salsa. This is a lovely accompaniment, but not a full meal. Not yet, anyways. You really need something solid as a dish first, and then add this on, and then you will have a full meal.
I like that analogy.
All right, now moving on to seventh place, and it's the Larks, the Alouettes, and it's corn poutine. People keep trying to make poutine better. Just stop it. It's not about what's on top. It's all about the fries, cheese, and gravy. Just let them do their job and you'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
Well, we got two teams left. One of them is them, the old Frankenstein FC from down the road. Now, oddly enough, they are what the last place team should be drinking as well, and that's corn whiskey. Let's just be honest here. This is the only way you're getting through this season. And this goes with anything. Hot weather, cold weather, rain or shine, just sip and smile.
And eventually you won't taste it anymore.
You won't feel anything anymore. And then lastly, it's the dear old Red Blacks. They're creamed corn.
Ugh.
Just when you think it won't get creamed, it gets creamed all over again. Sure, once or twice a season is tolerable, but week after week, year after year, yikes.
Yeah.
But that was the MO of not only the old Rough Riders, but the Renegades too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Getting creamed over and over again week after week?
Yep. Every now and then they have a few good games. Or if they sign Henry Burris, he saves the team.
And then gives him a great cup too.
Well, they purchased that great cup.
Like we don't.
Well,
next time people start getting that, we'll be breaking out the Monopoly money. And that's, I can't think of anything else. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, I guess that. I think Will was looking forward to saying some things about the old guard.
Oh yeah, we got it. Oh yeah, we. You guys are idiots. Straight up, you guys are morons.
Well, let's see if I can't find some impromptu comments by people. Impromptu.
An impromptu best of face bitch, this time Argo edition. But, I did not want to go there because I don't like healing up on our own fan base, but I gotta say, you guys are real Emmy Award winners. Like, seriously.
Now are we talking, you know, daytime or primetime Emmys?
MBT, why is he still there? Has not performed like a first string QB ever. We all give all the legitimate ones away.
This is what happens when you have a fan base that's been spoiled with the likes of Doug Flutie, Damon Allen, and Ricky Ray over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
When we get somebody who isn't at that level, they want them gone and replaced with the people that we brought into the league that have done a little bit better than he has. Even though
MBT might be the worst QB I've seen in 60 years of watching the Argos. There have been some bad ones, but usually they were replaced by a capable backup. Please put someone else in.
That's not true.
Does he not remember Michael Bishop, Mike Kerrigan,
Cleo Lemon,
Dalton Bell? There was a few in that around then that
an awful lot of people have selective amnesia here.
Yeah,
but then again, I don't think it's selective amnesia within our fan base. It's senility.
Well, you know what? The other thing, too, I mean, sticking up for law firm here, and it kind of goes to show you the longevity of quarterbacks in this town, but he has now moved into fifth place on the all-time passing list for the Argos. And he's, I believe, third or fourth with fourth quarter comeback wins. With 8.
I mean, let's put it this way. Out of starters, when it comes to accuracy, he's second. Behind only one quarterback.
Really?
Yep.
Some of these stats that we can pull out of him for MBT, just like it, you don't think that they're real. Until you actually look at it, you're like, yeah. He did do that.
Right, although his efficiency leaves a little to be desired. But, I mean, out of starters, he when it comes to accuracy this season, he's in second place.
It's insane.
Efficiency.
And right now, he's actually on par on accuracy with, I believe he's on par on accuracy with Ricky Ray.
Ricky Ray?
Oh. Damn.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I mean, right now, law firm has got a 73.2% accuracy.
73.2.
That's better than Ricky Ray in the 2017 Grey Cup year. That's better than, as it stands right now, that's better than Ricky Ray in 2015, in 2014, in 2012.
This is blowing my mind. You really do not think of MBT to have these kind of stats.
But and yet, does. And yet, people still shit on the guy.
They fart on him.
Well, they do more than fart. They drop a deuce. They drop a deuce on him.
Well, some of these guys can't.
Like I said, these guys are idiots. The people who ask this are idiots. The people who say this are idiots.
Not
everyone can be, and not everyone can be walks through the doors of the Toronto Argonauts Football Club can be a Hall of Famer, right?
I think that's part of the problem is we've had so many of these guys walk in at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
And the MBT didn't walk in at the top of his game. You know, I think when Ricky Ray was injured and people were talking about his maybe eventual end of his career, when we had Zach Caleros and Trevor Harris here, you know, you had one side who was like, okay, yeah, maybe these guys might. And then as soon as they had any kind of struggles, no, they're not the guys. Get rid of them. Bring back Ricky. When Trevor Harris got the call, it was the same thing. And now, you know, they're going, well, we gave away the future because you had the present. You can't keep the future. And now you got a guy who didn't come in as a name. I think that's the problem. They didn't come in as a name.
Mm-hmm.
God, heaven forbid the Argos develop their own guy.
And not let him walk away. Like we did with three other quarterbacks that are currently in the league. One of them with two rings. One of them with rings. But people seem to forget that McLeod Bethel Thompson does have a great cup ring.
Yep.
So whether you like it or not, this guy, although he wasn't a starter when it happened, this guy is a Grey Cup champion, whether you guys like it or not.
Yep. And so we can
give your heads. Give your heads a shake, old guard.
Yeah, yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Take your medication and go to bed.
Very good advice. Well, that does it for the Argos Fancast. Doug, where can they find you? And where can they send the hate mail?
You can send the hate mail my way on Twitter at DougB519, if you know how to operate Twitter. If you don't, I'm pretty sure you know how to operate Facebook. You can find the Double Blue Order on there. You can also find them. You'll also find them also on Twitter and on Instagram as well. Make sure to get yourself some Double Blue Order merch, including the Law Firm T-shirt, as much as you guys don't want to. As well as, don't forget, Rough Rider tier mugs as well, doubleblueorder.ca.
And Will, where can they find you?
On Twitter and at argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the Twitter and Instagram machines. You can find the Argos Fancast anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast or Argos Fancast on Twitter and Instagram or theargosfancast.podbean.com. Well, that does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We're going to go and enjoy the tailgate as we play Ottawa and beat them. And we'll talk to you next time, Argos fans. Cheers.
Why were you? Where did everybody go?